Blog Talk Radio.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين. الرحمن الرحيم. مالك يوم الدين. إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين. اهدنا الصراط المستقيم. صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين.
Assalamu alaikum. This is Latifa A. Hameen, the CEO for American Muslim 360, the number one Islamic radio station in the nation, where your intellect is respected and your voice is protected.
The views expressed by the host guests are their own and not necessarily the position of AM360 or the parent corporation, the Community-Wide Shura Conference, CWSC Incorporated. AM360 content is intended as a community service and is not designed to provide specific personal, medical, financial, or legal counsel or other professional advice, and no liability shall extend to the host or hostesses of AM360 or CWSC. We encourage you to seek an advisor for your specific circumstance. Now Joshua fought the battle of Jericho,
and the walls came tumbling down. Community-Wide Shura Conference and American Muslim 360 invites you to promote your organization or event on the number one Islamic radio station in the nation, where your intellect is respected and your voice protected. Affordable rates allow you to promote your event, product, or service and strengthen our national intelligentsia network. Contact corporate underwriting today at info@cwsc.us. That's info@cwsc.us. Or call 910-317-0297. Again, 910-317-0297. Together we can remake the world.
Assalamu alaikum. This is your co-host, Henry Hasib. And we have assisting me in this event that we've been studying for the past 2 months. Yeah, I think we started around April, the latter part of April, April 18, I believe it was, of studying this, Outwitting the Devil. As we get started in this today, we like to start out with Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين آمين. And in the Muslim language, those who may be listening that are not Muslim, this is called the Al-Fatiha, and it's one of the most oft-repeated verses in the whole of the Quran. As I was saying, we started this back in April of studying this call, Outwitting the Devil. And by now, those of you who have been listening for some time here, you should be now forming an opinion of forming a picture of how the devil has been working against this human life that God has created for us. And we see, as we have been going through this, that the devil seems to be those negative influences or forces that's in the human life. And we've studied a lot of things, and as we, when we finish this up, we pray that we can go back and look at a summation to hit some of the points that that is being covered in this. But now I think we should be at the stage where we can see that this force or this influence can either be internal or it can be external. And, you know, when you're listening to it, then you ought to see internal mean coming from within you. External mean a force that's outside of you that may be internal in another person. And one of the things I said before we get started here, as we get started, is that there was a saying, and it went like this. If you can conquer the enemy from within, then you don't really have to worry about the enemy without, because it's that enemy within that do the most destructive and part of destroying destroying you as a human being. And then we have to be careful of the influences that we get from the out part. Welcome to the program, Mark. How you doing this morning? And we appreciate, we were listening to your program last night. We appreciate what you did there last night to invite listeners to the program here. Assalamu alaikum.
Yes. Assalamu alaikum to you, Brother Henry Hasib, and to the very astute radio listening audience of AM 360 Radio. I always want to begin with Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillah, ya Rabbil Alameen. With Allah's name, the merciful benefactor, the most merciful redeemer, all the praise and thanks belongs to Allah first and foremost, always, who is the nurturer, the developer, and also the evolver of all the systems of knowledge. And so, you know, this is excellent in terms of this presentation on the outstanding publication by Napoleon Hill, Outwitting the Devil, because as you already have articulated, this is actually exposing the scheme, the thinking of the devil, as we call Shaitan in the religion of Al-Islam, is the devil. And you know that word devil is like it's D-E-V-I-L, and you see the word evil in it, and it's almost like the devil, you understand, is doing evil to be an obstruction to the correct perception of the human being and its created purpose. Very, very important. And some of the things that have been said before in terms of wanting to occupy the mind of those persons that don't realize that the Creator has created the human being uniquely to have freedom, the dome being at the top, of the human body, the freedom to actually think, to be a free thinker, you see. So, and then the accuracy in terms of our thinking is very, very important. And this language that is being used in terms of definiteness of purpose, we're going to hear a lot of that today, definiteness of purpose, very, very important. And we want to go to the Quran and Surah 51, 56 of the Quran. Just keep that in mind, because it is the one that has created us, Al-Khaliq, the creator, one of the 99 beautiful known names of Allah that have created us. He is the one that gives us our definite of purpose in 51:56, when God says, I have not created the jinn, nor the human being, except for my worship, except for my service, and Imam Muhammad, except for my purpose. So we're going to be utilizing the Quran, the life example of the prophet, and the tafsir. Tafsir means clear explanation by Imam Wahdeen Muhammad in terms of responding to some of these things that was forced confession, if you will, by Napoleon Hill in this conversation, what is termed and called the devil. So this should be interesting today as you play these sound bites that will be coming forth. So we ask that the radio listening audience really, really, really listen. And you should say, you know, school brother Henry, put on your thinking caps today. Put on your thinking caps and let's listen to what the devil is actually going to be conveying today. Thank you. I'll stop there.
Assalamualaikum. And we're going to probably try to get 5 or 6 minutes in here before we stop it. I backed it up just a little bit to give us a refresh on here, but we're going to try to get about 5 or 6 minutes out of this, and then we'll come back. Assalamualaikum.
Okay. Pain and disease and physical suffering. I am the unseen general in warfare. I am the unknown commissioner of poverty and famine. I am the executioner extraordinary at death. I am the inspirer of lust after the flesh. I am the creator of jealousy and envy and greed. I am the instigator of fear. I am the genius who converts the achievements of men of science into instruments of death. I am the destroyer of harmony in all manner of human relationships. I am the antithesis of justice. I am the driving force in all immorality. I am the stalemate of all good. I am anxiety, suspense, superstition, and insanity. I am the destroyer of hope and faith. I am the inspirer of destructive gossip and scandal. I am the discourager of free and independent thought. In brief, I am the creator of all forms of human misery, the instigator of discouragement and disappointment.
And you do not call that cold and cruel?
I call that definite and dependable. The world depression broke up the habits of men everywhere and redistributed the sources of opportunity in all walks of life on an unprecedented scale. The drifter's pet alibi, with which he tries to explain away his undesirable position, is his cry that the world has run dry of opportunities. Non-drifters do not wait for opportunity to be placed in their way. They create opportunity to fit their desires and demands of life.
Hill speaks of the great opportunities that arose during the Great Depression and the fortunes that were made by those who seized those opportunities. I believe that Hill would say the same thing in our own day. Many opportunities exist today because of the economic turmoil. Will you seize one and create your own opportunity to fit your desires and demands of life?
Are non-drifters smart enough to avoid the influence of hypnotic rhythm?
No one is smart enough to dodge the influence of hypnotic rhythm. One could just as easily avoid the influence of the law of gravity. The law of hypnotic rhythm fixes permanently the dominating thoughts of men, whether they be drifters or non-drifters. There is no reason why a non-drifter would want to avoid the influence of hypnotic rhythm, because that law is favorable to him. It helps him convert his dominating aims, plans, and purposes into their physical replicas. It fixes his habits of thought and makes them permanent. Only the drifter would wish to dodge the influence of hypnotic rhythm.
For the better portion of my adult life, I have been a drifter. How did I manage to escape being swept into the whirlpool of hypnotic rhythm?
You haven't escaped. The major portion of your dominating thoughts and desires since you reached adulthood has been a well-defined, definite desire to understand all the potentialities of the mind. You may have drifted on thoughts of lesser importance, but you did not drift in connection with this desire. Because you did not drift, you are now recording a document which gives you exactly what your dominating thoughts demanded of life.
Why doesn't your opposition use hypnotic rhythm to make permanent one's higher thoughts and nobler deeds? Why does your opposition permit you to use this stupendous force as a means of entangling people in a web of evil spun by their own thoughts and deeds? Why did your opposition not outwit you by binding people with thoughts which build and lift them above your influence?
The law of hypnotic rhythm is available to all who will use it. I make use of it more effectively than does my opposition because I offer people more attractive bribes to think my sort of thoughts and indulge in my sort of deeds.
In other words, you control people by making negative thinking and destructive deeds pleasing to them. Is that correct?
That is the idea exactly.
Chapter 7, Seeds of Fear.
All right. I ended a little bit faster than what I thought, Mark. There on that, because I think this is worth stopping.
Yeah, I think you went back a little too far there because I thought it was on maybe say disc number 4. Now I think that's
on
disc number 3. So
we are on disc 3 with the last part of that. But I went back to 4. But I think this is worth bringing some points out of because it's so much here. And what I got out of this is that here this influence here is saying that hey, this influence is natural, but I take it to bring the evil out of it. And the thinker, as he said, that he cannot control, they are subject to the same laws of hypnotic rhythm, but they use it to their advantage to develop habits and rhythms that's good there. So, you know, a lot of this may kind of get biased there a little bit that we don't really pay attention to, but we're gonna get the habit whether it's good or whether it's bad. But the thing that we know about the human being is that we have a choice. But this evil influence, as we call it, devil, that those influence seem to want to take away that choice and give us that influence to control the human being.
Yes. Yes, alhamdulillah. No, that's you're absolutely hitting the nail on the head in terms of hypnotic rhythm. Matter of fact, for those who may not have been present, maybe say a couple of weeks ago, the devil actually is using what has been observed in the natural creation in terms of the rhythm, in terms of how the creator, Al-Khaliq, is one of the 99 known beautiful names of God, has created everything. Everything is in rhythm and harmony in the natural creation. And so there's a balance that's there. There's peace and harmony in the natural creation. And actually, as Imam Muhammad have said, that as we look at the natural creation, and especially when you look up in the sky at night, he said you get three things from there. Is actually sending a message to how we as human beings are to construct our life. You see peace, and you see order, and you see beauty, and that is what is supposed to, we want to have in our life in the sacred institution of marriage, family, and also community life. But here, the devil is taking something that can actually be observed by the human being, but taking it and using it against establishing, as you say, bad habits, you see. So we have learned that anything that brings a message to our mind is actually a word. And so we have to begin with the word, what is being brought to our mind. And so whatever is the dominant word, actually it will produce the type of thinking, and it has a duality. It could either be positive thinking or negative thinking. And so the devil has described himself as negative energy, you know, And this influence can come, like you say, from within, or it can come from without. And so we have to really watch we have to select the things that go into our mind. This is one of the early things that Imam Muhammad said. I know most people remember him saying, words make people. But he also had a saying early on in this leadership, select, I'm going to say it again, select the things that go into your mind. Select the words that are container of ideas that go into your mind, which means that you have to be consciously thinking and consciously aware of where these words are coming from, the source, which it contains a concept. Is it a concept of God, or is it a misconcept of the devil? You see, so we start with the word, and then it produces the thought, either positive or negative, and then thoughts, they actually lead to the actions or the deeds, actions, and actions repeated over and over again. We have said that they become your habits. Now, this can become a duality in terms of good habits or bad habits, you see. But then when you're in the rhythm of repetitiveness, then you can actually develop these bad habits, and these habits actually personify in terms of the character that you become. And every character leads to a destiny. So, you know, we all want to get what we call the Jannah, the paradise, the garden, or our Christian brothers and sisters said, the heavenly condition again. But it is very, very important that we start with the word or what the message is being brought to our mind in that regard. And the devil takes something that he sees in the natural creation and he turns it around and to produce this hypnotic rhythm of a drifter, where it just becomes a continuous thing. And when you're in a hypnotic state, you are not aware. You're unconscious, you see, and you're very vulnerable and gullible for manipulation. I could say more, but I think I said enough. I'll stop there.
Yes, I'd just like to just echo what you said on marriage. If when we look at this society today, Mark, we see that the things that are happening in society has been misplaced. You know, sex is a natural part of the reproduction of a human life. But look how the devil makes it. He takes it from its rightful place, and then he puts it up first before the human being takes on the responsibility. Then he is sort of like going on a job saying, hey, before I work, I want to get paid. And we know the devil's purpose of saying this or doing this is so you never will get to the responsible or the responsibility of the marriage. And look what we got in America today. So we can witness that those influences of what he's doing, and now it has become such a great problem that people think that it's natural. They'll tell you, "Oh no, we're not gonna get married. We're just gonna live together," and they think like there's nothing wrong with it. So you're gonna live together. Well, you ain't taking you, and we talking about living together as husband and wife. But you're not taking on the responsibility of being a husband or a wife. I want the door to be left open so whenever I leave. And then with that, because we don't take on the responsibility, his pregnancies and all of this come, and we still walk out the door. So we can see that a lot of damage from this kind of thinking has really did damage in the society, especially this Western society.
Yes, alhamdulillah.
I
concur. That's a good
observation.
Yeah, good observation, because the sacred institution of marriage is part of God's will and plan. He established that. And we'll find in the Quran, you know, where God says that he created the human being from water, and then he established the relationship of lineage and also marriage. And we'll find that in Surah Al-Furqan. Surah Al-Furqan is the 25th chapter of the Quran and 54th verse, so that you can go and you can read it for yourself. So God is telling us that this is what he has established for the human being. So when God has established something for his human creation, it becomes a sacred institution, you see. But just like Brother Henry so eloquently articulated, he has given a misconception and a misperception in terms of what marriage is. And this is what it is that we teach on the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab, so that we can understand the sacred institution of marriage as being part of God's will and plan, but what marriage really is. And so the devil brings a lot of the superficiality, not the reality, of what this plan is and what it's designed to do in terms of the growth and the development, as you say, in terms of social responsibility. But it helps to evolve the human being and get the human being to the destiny that Allah created the human being for, in servitude and working together to serve the one that has created and established this sacred institution. I could say a lot more in regards to that, and I know this is on a higher level than most people actually think. You know, they may just think that this is just getting together for just sex or even just procreation, but it's on a very high level. But once we can open our minds up and become free thinkers, then Allah can reveal more to us in terms of his will and plan for this sacred institution. Thank you so much, Brother Henry.
Yes, and I would encourage our listeners there that on AM 360 and IWDM radio that to tune in there for more on the courtship and marriage, to give the correct responsibility or the correct way in order to do that, and that's much needed, I'll say, in the society. So I know we could talk on that all day, but we'll move on a little bit further here.
I've often wondered why your opposition, what we earthbound call God, does not annihilate you. Can you tell me why?
Because the power is as much mine as his. It is as available to me as to him. That is what I have been trying to get over to you. The highest power in the universe can be used for constructive purposes through what you call God, or it can be used for negative purposes through what you call the devil. And something more important still, it can be used by any human being just as effectively as by God or the devil. You?
Mark, I think we got to stop right there. He throws out a misconception. Now, we know this devil did not create the universe, as he will admit. But you got to understand him and how he works. A lot of things that he will put as to say how we look as God, how what we take as God. But he just really saying that we take in the good side, that we attribute good things to God. All the good is for God, but God is higher than just the good. Whereas the devil saying he is the evil side or the negative side that he's saying here. But God is the creator of that good and that evil that can happen in the earth, can be taken as the evil because but we know God created all these things that it's taken from. And the devil tries to make it slick to make us think that we got some of the same power, we got the same power that the Creator got. And when we begin to think like that, then, of course, we give him more power over us. And we have to really be careful. But he's talking about the power of the good and the evil that the human being controls, and he's saying that in that sense, he's got as much power as we do, or as much influence as we do, because we can choose to go his way, or we can choose to go Allah's way. Allah give us those choices. And I tell people, God will never take away your power to choose. He created it. He gave it to you, and that's what distinguishes you from the rest of the creation here, and he'll never take that away from you. So we have to really be careful how the devil screws this up, I think.
Well, you know, very well said, Brother Hendrick. You know, the biggest thing, and I knew you were going to stop it immediately right there, because we don't want to overlook this big lie. That's all it is. It's a big lie.
Mm-hmm.
That the devil has the same power as God. No, the devil does not have the same power as God, because actually in this devolving of this creation that we call jinn, this was a devolving of what was referred to as Iblis, and the root meaning of Iblis is balasa, which means that he despaired. So the creation, this new creation that Almighty God said that he was bringing to existence, just simply put, there was an objection by this already creation in terms of being given this freedom. What you were speaking about in terms of free will, limited free will, however, but being given a big responsibility, the freedom to be responsible. So Allah has given to him being the freedom of being responsible for himself, for others, family, for his environment, for the environment that Almighty God has created for the human being. So what that did was initiate some jealousy and envy in this new creation. And so the devil's role and responsibility, and he's an avowed enemy, even though he said he's a sincere advisor, is to work against this will and plan. This is why the word shaitan is shatana. Shatana means that he became distant, became distant from what God's will and plan was for the human being. And he had to be able, for the devil to be able to work, he had to ask. He had to ask for respite. He had to ask for time. And it was granted to him. You understand?
Mm-hmm.
So this in and of itself, if we understand what God is saying in the Quran, the final revelation, you know, you couldn't be equal if you had to ask for the right to be able to dispel what God's will and plan was for this human creation, and then you try, you know, to prove that not worthy of what the purpose for the Khalifa, we call Khalifa, which Imam Muhammad says is a true human being. You see, so he's trying to prove that not worthy of that station, a position that has been given to him. So this says in and of itself, Brother Henry, that the devil is telling a big lie in terms of having this omnipotence, this being all-powerful, or having the same power or equal power. He doesn't. Matter of fact, he doesn't really have anything but extending an invitation and a whisper, you know, to suggest to you. But as you say, we have the freedom to think, and we have the free will, limited free will, to make choices and decisions as to what it is that we will do and we won't do. That's why it's very important to understand our creation in terms of to worship God, to serve God, and to live out the definite purpose in which God created all human beings. I'll stop there.
Yeah. And Mark, before we go to a break, we're going to take a break here in just a moment. But we have to be aware that when the devil is talking about this God or this perception of God, he's talking about the God, as they refer to in English, the little g God. And that little g God is subject to creation just like the rest of us are. It's subject to the laws of the universe just like the rest of us are. But we know when we say Allah, we're talking about the creator of all of those laws, who's not subject to any of those laws. So you really have to listen with a keen ear, because he'll have you thinking and want you to believe that the creator, Allah, has no more power than he has. When Allah created that he came out of, and that we came out of, and we're subject to the laws of this creation that Allah created, but the little God that he's talking about is subject to the same laws, because that little God, sometimes man, think he is that God, you know. So that's why you have to listen to what he's saying, and then on the day of judgment, as it says, he's going to deny all of that. That he even tried that he even did it. Say, I wasn't talking about you, Allah. I was talking about the little gods that they make out here besides you, the gods that they take besides you. So punish them for taking that God or seeing it that way. I just gave them the information, and they accepted it. So we have to be careful.
Brother Henry, that's why the first pillar, the first of the five pillars, is called the Shahada. It's a kalimat in terms of a declaration. I call it the declaration of liberation. When we bear witness, we say La ilaha illallah. You know, it is a declaration of liberation, because it starts with a negation in terms of elimination. Elimination, eradication of anything and anybody can be God but the one God that is Allah, La Sharika Lahu, you know. And this God does not have partners, and it don't have associates. So even in terms of the misconception and perception that have come down through the ages of time in terms of men, you understand, constructing false idols and having, as Imam Muhammad said, false ideas of God, all this is eliminated in that kalima, in that declaration, which is very, very important. And this is the first pillar before we get to the other pillars and all. So I'll stop there, but this is very important. I had to say that because if we don't get that in our life, then this makes us very, very vulnerable to start to accepting things that we see in creation, including the human being and what it is that we're seeing them do, and then begin to want to serve and worship and devote our life to those things that are not deserving. So this is what that kalima is actually saying. It's a declaration of elimination. When you come to that point where you can testify, where you can bear witness, that eliminates anything and everybody, including human beings, in terms of being what you call little gods. Okay? I'll stop there.
All right. Well, we're going to take a break right here, and we'll be right back. And to our callers, if you do have a question or comment, then press 1 on your phone, and we'll get to you as soon as we get back. So as they say, stick and stay. Don't stray away. We'll be right back.
Greetings. This is Priscilla Lukta of the University of Islam and Clara Muhammad School National Alumni Association. We support CWSC and AM360 because of their support of our group intellect. From the Model Communities National Resource Directory and Speakers Bureau to American Muslim 360 Broadcasting and more. Join in helping to build our national intelligentsia. If not me and you, then who? Visit CWSC.us today to make your tax-deductible gift at 910-317-0297. Thank you.
Assalamu alaikum. Are you or anyone you may know big into sports? Having a unique ability to deliver opinionated yet knowledgeable sports takes? Or maybe you're a travel aficionado in love with and passionate about all things travel. From cuisine to hotel tips, modes of travel, one with the air, the land, and the sea. Even the best way to save a buck or two. Or do you have an interest in fashion? A keen eye for the movers and shakers within the realm of Islamic fashion? Perhaps a history buff? Maybe you're an expert in law, all things related to the Ummah and entertainment. Or a student proficient in the arts? An environmentalist? You are a renowned activist or a writer with love for teaching and the deliverance of ideas via the pen, the keyboard, or if you're old school, the typewriter. If you share any of these unique talents or know someone who does and are interested in hosting your own radio show, then you've found the right place. Log on to www.cwsc.us for more information. We hope to hear from you soon, and inshallah, the world will begin to benefit from your unique talents and points of view. Assalamu alaikum. Peace be upon you.
Okay, we're back, and we played these two PSAs because I think they're important too. And one of them is on education, which is what we're doing here now. Education is most important. And as we have been through here, this evil influence says that he starts with the children and by using the parents, the teachers, and the preachers. So we know that is a critical area that we really have to be on the lookout for, because that's will shape the lives of these children into being what they become. And then if you got talent out there, and most of us, we know everybody's got a talent, at least one talent, then put these talents to use. Don't just let them, as they say, die with you. Put these talents to uses and make some use. Let's get together and begin to strategize how we can overtake these influences. So say that these influences are weak. If we let them just roam in the society freely and don't address them and don't point them out, then they'll look like they are giant. You know, they give that part in the scripture there, and I won't talk about that, but we know that story of the giant there, and this little guy here just come and throw one stone, and he's able to bring that big giant down. But we won't get into that right now, but that just shows you how true, how little true, one stone, one truth can bring down that whole giant of falsehood there. So at this time, again, we invite our listeners to press one on your phone if you do have a question or comment there. And go ahead, Mark, what were you about to say?
No, you had no idea. No, I know you didn't want to maybe say go down that narrative in terms of the narrative of the story of David and Goliath, but as we know, the five smooth stones, and he only had to fire one right at the forehead, and that becomes just what it was that I was speaking about before we right. took a pause for the cause. You know, la ilaha illallah. And it actually killed Goliath, and you hear the word lie, and so obviously there's a mindset and a disposition that is prevalent in the world today, and has been for a very, very long time. We can't even put numbers on it to go and lieth. And lieth to those, you understand, that are seeking to be true servants and to worship God in the way that we should, and being obedient, you know, being obedient and accepting guidance of our life. This is very, very important. So that stone that was fired, you understand, was that first pillar. Mm-hmm. You know, in terms of testifying and witnessing that there's no God but one God. Now, this is a giant because it's big in the minds of the people. We know giants, we've taken it from the physical, and we're looking at it totally different from the mental, but also from the spiritual realm. There can be giants that's in people's lives, you understand, that become an obstruction to them actually being conscious, regardful, that these things are not so big as they may appear to be. So when we acknowledge this Kalamat, this Declaration of Liberation, we have defeated this so-called pseudo giant in our life. And we said, Takbir, we glorify God who's perfect and above mistakes, errors, and shortcomings. And we say, Allahu Akbar. That's the response to glorification, which Imam Muhammad has said to us. That means that God is greater, he's bigger. Even though giants are big, but Allah is bigger. And there are important things in our life, but Allah is more important than anything that we can imagine, which is the creative part of the mind that we can imagine or that we can actually know. This is very, very important. So when we begin, when we say Allahu Akbar, I would hope that we begin to use the tafsir, the clear explanation by Imam Muhammad. Don't just say Allahu Akbar, that Allah is the greatest. No, he said Allah is greater. There have been men that say, I am the greatest. Muhammad Ali said, I'm the greatest. Now, of course, we know he was saying he was the greatest boxer of all time, in particular heavyweight. Mm-hmm. And I think most of us agree. It's arguable that he was the greatest in the boxing ring, but not the greatest, because Allah is greater. You see, so in the comparative, there's nothing that can be compared with God. See, so it's a lot that we could say about that, but this is very, very important for us to know and realize that when we call dhikr, you know, oftentimes after praying, that we remember dhikr, Allahu Akbar, that thinking and remembering Allah is the greatest or the greater for getting the best results in our life. So I'll stop there.
Yes, it is. And what we have to remember, too, Mark, is that even though we're talking about the subject of outwitting the devil, all of the solution, there's nothing that we have not discovered that is discussed that is not covered in the Quran.
That's right.
And as I've mentioned before, our brother Imam Kazim Ahmed, he went through this whole interview here up there, and he went through the Quran and related what the Quran talks about each one of these points that this book is talking about. And I think, I wish it would be get to be published of that, but so we could all study, because he did a lot of research on that. But we have to do our own research, too. So there, but the solution to these problem or to this problem, to the which is a society, which is a human problem, I say nobody has got a problem, nobody's got a devil, no creation except a human being. And why do we have a devil? You know, why don't the trees have a devil? Why don't the animals have a devil? So that shows that it's something about the human uniqueness, and we know the uniqueness of the human being is our ability to think. And all this interview here is talking about the thinking. And the Quran tells us that the best thinking, as you just said, is thinking on your Creator, on God, putting your thoughts on God and what God wants for the human being. Because it should be the same thing that we want for ourselves. As one of the brothers say on his program, that the Muslim thinking should be the human thinking. So So, it should be that. So the thinking of the human being should be in with what God wants for the human being, and that
yeah.
is.
And you know, I want to say this here that we should put a qualifier that you know Muslim thinking should be the true human, should be the true human
yeah.
Muslim way is the true human, and we need to use that qualifier because. How we define human is different than what other people define human or human being.
Yes.
You know, and we see people today that have fit the physical form that you would identify a human in, but they're not being human. If this is hopefully is digestible and understandable, they're more animalistic. And even beneath them, the lowest of the low, because even animals, as we know, that are called predators, don't just kill all day. They only they only kill just for survival. You see, you know, they said the lion is king of the beasts in the jungle, but if you just watch nature. You know, in those nature programs, after the pride has been fed and everything, the lion and the family is peaceful. They just sit there. They just sit there with their family.
Right,
I guess just enjoying their family life. You see, but we are seeing senseless killing in the world today. Senseless killing, insensitivity. And so we see in a lot of animal life, we see sensitivity. We see love in terms of the family life in the natural creation. So this is why Allah has said in the Quran that he's created the human being in the best or the excellence or mold, but at the same time that human being can and will be debased to the lowest of the low, the lowest of the low. So there's other life that is actually a lower form of life. And you was talking about like the trees and the other form of creation. Well, they are all under God's will. And so whatever we see in the nature is actually expressing God's will and plan and his purpose for creating the tree, that every tree will serve some purpose. Yeah, it don't have to be a fruit tree, but it could be just what we call a shade tree.
That
gives some cool from the sun, and, you know, and all. So everything has a purpose in life, and it will stay in its creative purpose, if you will. Everything will stay in its creative purpose, but the human being, you understand, was given. Free will, it's a limited free will to choose and make decisions. And this is the one that the devil goes after of, you know, because he was given the freedom to be responsible. And the devil actually thinks that he should have had that position. I am better.
Right.
You see? So that's how we have to look at it in life, you know, Brother Henry. We have to see... why this enviousness and jealousy actually arose in the mindset of Iblis that actually devolved. There's a difference between jinn and also shaitan. There was actually a brother just the other day, I won't call his name, he actually thinks that Allah created the devil. I know we have a few more minutes, but I have to say this, but, you know, if he would actually approach it with an open mind and let the Quran guide him, and I wanted to ask him the question. I didn't have time to ask him the questions on his own program, but if Allah says that the hellfire, that the shaitan, he won't be over that, you know, as we're talking about here, outwitting the devil, you know, whereas that his number one tool is fear. And we're given misconceptions that the devil got this type of power, he'd be over hell. No. He's going to be in the hellfire. That's what God said. That's not what Mike Shaheed said, Brother Henry Hasib is saying. This is what God is saying. So if, and he believing that God created the devil, well, why would you punish the devil? For doing, why would you punish anything in natural creation? Because it's doing exactly what it was created to do. No, we have to understand. And I use this example all the time. Did Allah create the alcoholic? Did Allah create the drug addict? Did Allah create the prostitute? Did he create the pimp? And the answer is no. These were choices that was made instead of evolving but devolving. So this creature, you understand, Iblis, that was a jinn, he devolved. He didn't evolve. And why you said devolve? Because Allah is telling us in 51:56, I have not created jinn nor the ints, meaning the human being, except for my worship, for my service. And he wanted all the utility that he had created to come to his highest form of creation, which was the human being. And we have this in both Bible and also Quran. So this is very, very important. So this is why he is an avowed enemy. A'udhu minash shaitanir rajim. That we are seeking, you know, we're seeking refuge, which is really shelter and protection. And that shelter and protection is, with, once again, with God's word. His word to the final word of revelation from the influence of the avowed enemy. It's not like this one we call Shaitan, the devil, is a concealed enemy. He's an open enemy, and he is an avowed. He made the vow that I will come after this one from the right, the left, front, and back, and I will lie in the straight path. And that means that he will try to get into religion. He will get into scripture. We know that the books that came before, he got in there and produced this misconception and perception to people that want to be guided aright. I'll stop there. But this is very important for us to know as we continue with this outstanding publication by Napoleon Hill, Outwitting the Devil. And I think we might be able to get maybe some of that, that Imam Kazim. As a matter of fact, I'll see what I can do. Perhaps that maybe some type of recordings or what that may have been preserved, inshallah, and then bring it to the platform as we talk about this in terms of outwitting the devil. But, you know, those of us who are students of the Quran, when we hear these things that Napoleon Hill is saying, actually it takes our mind to what God says. And that's how we have to see it. Because we hear some of these things, we know they're lies. We know that the devil is not on the same level. We know that. That's not even up for discussion.
You know. You're right. And I guess we're... we right down to our final couple of minutes, Mark. But as you was talking, I was just thinking about one of the things that they say that Christ Jesus said, let he without sin cast the first stone. And in there you never see, because they say, well, Christ was without sin. He had no sin. But I don't see where he cast the stone. So that you know, that gives you something to say, that because they tried to make him God. In the saying of that he was without sin, so that he had to be God. If man don't have any sin, then he's God. No, that just makes him a good human being, which is what we say here now in Outwitting the Devil, that, hey, we got to get away from this stuff so we can become good human beings, the human beings with the full potential that we were created with to have. But the devil say he take those good potentials and he make bad things out of them. And we'll continue this next week, God be willing. There we are out of time now, so We hope and to our listening audience, tell your friends and all, tune in, and they'll get a lot out of this, maybe even more than what you're getting out of it, because it will offer probably a new perspective to them. But we'll see you next week. So until then, we'll see you. And the next show is our brother Adam Beyer, and he will be talking about, let's see what Adam got here. Don't see that. I ain't got enough time, but just stay tuned, and the next voice you hear will be from him. Assalamu alaikum.
God's peace be upon you.
Assalamu alaikum.
God's love be upon you. God's compassion be upon you, the one soul of humanity. May we let it be in thought and in action. On behalf of CWSC Intelligentsia, the number one Islamic radio station in the nation, where your intellect is respected and your voice protected, American Muslim 360, the Speakers Bureau, the Model Community National Resource Directory, the Volunteer Human Resource Network, Scholarship, the Learning Lab, Ambassadors, National Leadership Advisory Council, Internship, Leadership Development Council, the Think Tank, Strategic Family Institute, the bookstore. May we share completely humanity in spirit and in form, from thought to action. God's peace, God's love, God's compassion. Assalamu alaikum.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. This is Imam Adam B.R. here on Money Sense, my MP60 on this Thursday morning, July the 11th. And I want to welcome all of you to our program today. I'm glad that you decided to stay online and hear our program after that excellent program with Brother Henry Hasib and his with a great assist from Mark Shaheed. I want to begin opening up from the Quran, Surah Al-Ma'idah. Ma'idah, which is the fifth surah of the Quran, the eighth ayah. A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajeem. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم يا أيها الذين آمنوا كونوا قوامين لله شهداء بالقسط ولا يجرمنكم شنآن قوم على ألا تعدلوا أقبلوه وأقربوا للتقوى واتقوا الله إن الله كبير بما تعملون صدق الله العظيم. And the translation is given by Abdul Yusuf Ali. With Allah's name, the merciful, benefactor, the merciful, Redeemer. O you believe, stand out firmly for Allah as witnesses to fair dealing, and let not the hatred of others to you make you swerve to wrong and depart from justice. Be just, that is next to piety, and fear Allah, for Allah is well acquainted with all that you do. Again, Sadiq Allah, being Allah speaks the truth, and surely Allah's words are true. We want to kind of take up a little bit of what we discussed last week. Based on my conversation with a couple of people, I think at least one of them got the wrong idea of what our intentions was. And I'm hoping that our guests from last week online, if you're online, just press 1 to get in the queue. But that was, we talked about a way that we can, that the national organizations could raise more money. Especially when they have their conventions or their national events, which is designed in their thinking, seemingly, it's a fundraiser. And like with all fundraisers, we hope that sufficient amount of funds can be raised. And we were talking about, you know, the reason maybe more people don't attend is because it might be cost prohibitive. I don't know. But I know what I spend when I attend those events. And also know that most of the money that I spend on the event does not go to the intended organization. Because a lot of money goes to airfare, a lot of money goes to hotels. You want to rent a car, it goes to rental cars, food. And when I would track how much money I was spending in other areas, and I was seeing how much money is really reaching the organization. So we were having that discussion on our Graceline community call, and one of the brothers, and I see he's online, I'm going to bring him on in a minute, came up with what I thought was an excellent idea. And the idea is to raise money, not to tell people don't go to the convention. No, we're not saying that. We're not saying that. But let me bring him on board, brother. Brother Edward Willis.
Assalamu alaikum, brother Adam. How are you, my man?
Sir?
I'm doing good.
Yes, sir. Yeah, as I said last week, we were having a discussion. I think the idea was saying don't go. So I wanted to invite you back this week to share with the group your idea, which I think is excellent. And I'm going to let you take it from there, brother.
Okay. Well, first thing, let me reiterate what Adam said. If you could go to the convention, please go. Because it's, to me, going, yes, it's about the fundraising, but it's also about the community. It's about seeing people and reinforcing everyone's involvement in the community. So by all means, if you can go to any of the community-wide annual events or regional events or anything of that nature, please go. But a lot of people can't go, and even for those that do go, sometimes it's a financial pinch on them to go. And as Adam was saying, a lot of the money gets spent outside of direct investment in our community, whether that's a time to be grateful or something that the convenience of the moms puts on or whatever, the real money never gets to them. So my idea is to continue to have the events in much the same way that we have been having them. But at those events should be televised back to our community. And let me kind of break it down. So it could be done on WebEx, it could be done on Zoom, it could be done on lots of other platforms that exist. There are programs, say, at a time to be grateful, that are specific time. There is typically a cost to get in and participate in those events, whether it's the fashion show, the business breakfast, different things. And these are major events that people would love to attend if they had the ability to attend. So let's broadcast those events and other parts of our conventions back to our communities across the country. And everybody will know the schedule of when things are coming on. And if I'm in Dallas and you're broadcasting the event from Miami, as the event's going to be held there in December, we in Dallas can collectively get together and have a watch party and there could be watch parties all across the country so that people across the country have the same feel as if they're there. They're watching the fashion show together. They're having a potluck dinner or luncheon or whatever the timing is together collectively within our masjid, or it could be several masjids together that are doing this. And part of us getting together and doing it is actually fundraising for the organization. And I envision anywhere from 25 to, say, 50 different gatherings across the country of anywhere from 40 to 60 people coming and going. Nobody's going to be able to stay there all day long or all evening, but coming and going. And every one of those individuals or every family group, say, contributing $50. That's going to go directly to the Muslim Journal, let's say, for example. So if you have 50 people contributing $50 or 50 units, could be a family unit together that does a 50, that's $2,500 per community or per masjid that you've raised. If you have 30 of those, you've now raised $75,000. That goes directly to Muslim Journal. Hotel doesn't get anything. Car rental gets nothing. Hotel gets nothing. Restaurants in the surrounding area get nothing, and so on and so forth. I just think, and that's very brief. I mean, I actually have something written out that's much more elaborate, but I don't want to take up that much time. I think that type of direct investment or direct funding of Muslim Journal and other organizations probably suits our community a lot better than maybe in the future we're bigger, doesn't matter. But today, with the limited resources that we have and the economic times that we live in, I simply think that is a much better way of going about fundraising for our organizations. The other thing is, within our organizations, our little groups, let's say there's 50 of us in Dallas and we're watching, and let's say it's on WebEx or Zoom. We can also have a camera set up that when the event pans to us, they can see us sitting together as a support group for the Muslim Journal, for the conveners of Imams, and so on and so forth. They can see our bright, shining faces right there in Miami or Washington, D.C., or you know, wherever we're having the event, so that we feel like we're a part of it. I mean, I just think the idea would bring our community closer together and also raise more funds for the organization.
Another thing, there are a lot of younger Muslims that have never had the experience of coming to the national events, right?
Right.
And that might tie them into it, because keep in mind now that many of our longtime brothers and sisters that we used to see when we go, some of them are dying off.
Right.
And we have new people that are coming on board that is not able to take up the mantle of what the oldest left off because they don't know, because
right.
They haven't experienced it. So I'm just working some numbers, brother. And if we have 50 events around the country, 50 events, and each event, through pledges and whatever, they raise $2,000 at each event. That's $100,000 that Mosque Cares or Muslim Journal or the Council of Imams will get, which is much more than I'm sure than they're getting now.
Exactly.
So we're talking about maximizing. Now,
right.
I was watching this one Olympic trial heat, and they had one of the winners, her family was at the event. I forgot where they were located, but her family was there, right.
I know exactly what you're talking about.
Right. Then they had another one of the, I think the sister came in second place, and her family, I guess, couldn't afford to go there. So they had a camera.
They were in
their
the living room. Right.
In the living room. And it might have been about 20 or 25 people there. So the camera mm-hmm. panned to the living room, and they were just excited. That was more exciting than having somebody in the stand, you know?
Right.
So
right.
So that kind of excitement we're talking about. That kind of excitement we're talking about. So I'm hoping that, I mean, I think it's a good idea. What I know, I mean, I might be off base.
No, Adam, this is a simple solution because the technology involved in making it happen is something that's used every day by people,
yes.
you know, around the country who are tech savvy and ones that are not tech savvy. And,
mm-hmm.
you know, you talked about the young people, and that's something I hadn't really even thought about, but that's fantastic. But also think about some of our pioneers who can't travel and who may not
yeah,
be tech savvy or even have a computer or be able to get on a Zoom or a WebEx. They can just come to the Mass Theater, to the community center or special events center in the community and experience it as if they were there
mm-hmm.
as well. You don't have to travel.
Right.
You know,
right.
I think that would be
right.
fantastic for them as well.
I would definitely say so. I would definitely say so. Got a caller that has his hands up. Let's
okay.
see what, yeah, if you have a comment. 706-627. Assalamu alaikum.
Walaikum assalam. This is Brother Muhammad and the Ummah Prophet Muhammad by the way of Columbus, Georgia. Being a hands what you're already saying, you know, that's why in those 50 places, we know in Inshallah, there's probably at least one or two people in the community who can afford to put on that activity with the group of them already there. And also at the same time, show a chance for those who can't afford, you know, like we used to do, the convention centers and things were free to come in. But we also could use that time to let those who can't afford, they can eat for free and everything, because the sponsors of the city and the believers in the community who are doing well by Allah's permission will be ones to be to sponsor the whole individually 50 places activity, so that not only 100,000 can be raised, you know, those same believers have the opportunity to show a lot of their spending faith to Billy Allah, what he has given them, not only on those less fortunate, but on the goal of establishing the finance for this model community that we're building. And there's no reason why 50 people and 50 activities going on around the country are not able to send $5 or $6 million, $10 million to that one support system that we're trying to raise that fundraising on and make this an ongoing opportunity. It may be 12 times a year where each business – And this is where the responsibility comes in, where the businessmen have to step up and accept this wonderful opportunity to spend what Allah has given them to make sure that the orphans, the homely believers, and people can come to what we're getting ready to witness in this activity of mosque cares or a different activity that we're having it for, will be able to come and donate whatever they have. It might be $5, $10. But they know they're coming. They can eat free. We have a nice setup where there's a smorgasbord for anyone who wants to eat. And this
Muhammad,
is not
under taking it further. Muhammad, we're taking it further. We're trying to raise money for the event, and we're saying they can't afford to go to the convention, and not that they can't afford to go to Mastiat and buy a meal.
I'm saying the same thing.
We're trying to raise. If we do 100,000, 100 lakh. If we do a million, 5 million, 100 lakh. But realistically, when we look at the numbers, if we do 100,000, that's 100 lakh.
Right.
Thank you very much.
And
brother.
The other
okay,
brother,
can I say
and
this
I,
in?
Oh, you got
can
else?
I say this then? Yeah, just
yeah,
one more thing. There's approximately we know in 25, 30 years ago there was 2.1 million. Believers in the community of Imam Waqi Muhammad. We know we've had children singing. We've had graduates. We've had scientists. And we have businessmen like yourselves have come into being since then. There could be well over 7 or 8 million of us in the community of Imam Waqi Muhammad, just that our community, you know. And we have an obligation
to say accountability on know each other, get to know each other, send out information to each other, different matches, the national convention, mosque, Imam Wahab, and let them know that we are trying to come together to do our responsibility as the leading this country and this world into the reality that we're all striving to do, and accept that leadership role, because we have money. You know, in our community, there's easy right now on records, there's supposed to be 750,000 of us who are still following the community of, and leadership of Imam Wahab Muhammad. That's in the non-Muslim world of calculation. But we know there's way
150,000.
750,000 is supposed to be the population of those who still are supporting the community of Imam Wahab Muhammad's leadership. That's what the United States government is putting out there the last time I've done looked at this consensus. But we know in 1996 or somewhere in that area,
750,000, Adam.
Yeah, something like 750,000. Yeah, and
I would say raise the hand.
1996, there was 2.1 million of us. 2.1 million of the people.
I would
say this is what the federal government
raise
say.
The hand and be visible.
Really?
Yeah, that's true.
I don't
that's
know
that's
that
our job with sending out flyers and doing the scanning contact with each other and the part of what we're talking about now. You know,
I don't know if it's that many. But
I don't know. We haven't died. Our children haven't died. Our grandchildren haven't died. And I'm pretty sure that you and yourself and others and your daughters and sons have been doing a pretty good job in teaching our children Al-Islam and who they are and what they are. So though they might not have no avenue to express that, they still know that they are connected to the leadership of Imam Wahab Muhammad, their father, their grandmother. And some of them even go as far back to know that they are connected to the nation of Islam. Because we have done a good job to do the best we can to tell everyone that God, Allah is God, and Prophet Muhammad is the seal of the prophet. Our children know that, but they don't have no avenue like what we're trying to do now, open the door to freedom for them to be who they was created by Allah in our reality, and that's Muslim. You know, and they got grandparents, great-grandparents, aunts and uncles to prove that they were born and established in the reality of what Allah sent through the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, what Allah sent through Imam Wahab Muhammad, and through ourselves. We're still doing it. We're procreating. Just saying that we have responsibility as a community of people who's really established this model community. So if we're waking up now to do that, then alhamdulillah, we remember we ain't broke. We're not broke. We're not uneducated. We have a lot of resources, but we've got to quit taking for the lack of a better word, the cheapest route to resolve a big problem that can be solved
Muhammad,
overnight with all the believers we have, the money we have.
Muhammad, listen. Let's be real. Let me speak to him. Let's be real, brother.
You think I'm not being real? Are we not being real about what we're saying?
No, sir. I don't. No, sir.
Okay.
Here's why. When I look at most ethnic groups, even if I look at the Muslim ethnic groups, and I see how they establish business, how they work together. When I see in the shopping area where my office is, and I see there are two open areas, and one group, these are Yemenis, they open up a beauty supply store. And you know who their customers is, for the most part. And then after doing that for about 3 or 4 months, they went next door. There was another large space open, and they opened up a clothing store. And again, we know who their customer is for the most part. Right? To me, that's showing them working together to establish something. And unfortunately, what funds their business interests is African-American shoppers. We can fund it, but we can't seem to do it for ourselves. So when you say we got this money, I don't know what money you're talking about. We might have a good job, but that ain't money.
Yeah, but that's just a good job. Being an accountant like you are, you can find that information very easily. That is your profession, and you are good. You are good at your job. I've known you for years, and I know you are good at being a professional accountant and many other things. But you can find that same information I just found, and I'm just a layman. But we have to realize that we still have to do this our own self, for our own self, and we can do it. We have the money.
I'm not saying
you multiply.
I'm not saying we can. I'm saying I agree we can do it. If we pool our resources, we can do it. If we work together, and that's one of the things that we're trying to establish with Graceline Community, is to encourage people to do those things. But the reality is, as African Americans, we're not working together. And
that's why we're not African Americans anymore. We're Muslims, and we have to understand that.
Okay.
This is a book that you got to have no doubt in, and I think doubt is what's killing us.
I'm an African American Muslim, brother. I'm a Muslim who's African American.
No problem with that. I said no problem.
That's what I am. I didn't come here to change my ethnicity. I didn't come here to change what I am. I understand what you're saying, but the reality
you came over here a Muslim. Your descendants or your ancestors came
over.
You might be one of the brothers that came from the descendants of African slaves who was a Muslim. And you should honor that, and I'm talking we should honor that. Those of us who came over here as Muslims, Allah sent us over here for a reason. The Muslim Africans who came over here as slaves. We came over here for a reason, to maintain this connection and free all people, because we will have everybody in the world right here in the United States of America. Every nationality, every descendant has been a slave over here, indirectly or directly, and they're all here. We have an opportunity to the Muslims who came over here to get the whole world back to one God, get the whole world back to one reality. They wasn't created American, French, Japanese, all this is things that came along during our development that Shaitan put in the picture. And we accepted it. Accepted it.
I'm going to
have
to
we have
PSA,
some people
brother.
Just like you, good as you are, they call themselves black. That's their nationality.
Well,
on the driver's license, they still say Negro. And they're proud of it.
Not my driver's license.
I know you're asking, right. Alhamdulillah, but we're not talking about the individual. We said how everybody must not have doubt in this Quran. And that's what our problem is right now.
I'm going to give you the answer. I'm going to give you the answer that the man, Sheikh Kenneth Muhammad, gave when he was doing the interview. He said he became a Muslim, and then it was part of Nation of Islam, because he was looking for a solution to the problems that we had in America. And he said, and then I found God in the process. I found God
in the
process.
Well, see, what does that have to do with the truth? What does that have the truth that's in the Quran?
Well, that is the truth.
Anybody who came over here, this is what I'm saying. Anybody who came over here came from the Quran. The Quran been here 1,400 years and some change. Every nationality, everything in history that we have been read in the Quran and before the Quran was revealed, we know now is altogether has nothing to do with the truth, like Prophet Isa said. You know, we are living the truth. And we have to get rid of all these
names. That's the truth. Our problem isn't because we're not using the right names. Our problem is because our activity is not consistent with what you say we need to do.
Yeah, we have doubted.
That's what I'm saying.
We have doubted.
This ain't no mystery. This ain't no spook world. This ain't no mystery God. Nothing.
I agree with you.
We have to get people.
And we have.
And
the problem is we have no doubt.
I got to PSA and I got to call on. I got to call on also.
Right.
But thank you.
Appreciate that.
I'm good. Thank you. Assalamu alaikum. And play this PSA. And we'll be right back. And I got a caller. Don't go anywhere, caller. Assalamu alaikum.
There's a place where words make people. A place where you're invited to expand your heart and mind. There's a place where your intellect is respected and your voice protected. You're listening to the American Muslim 360 Radio Network, 24/7, Muslim-hosted. From religion and current world events, politics, faith and education, marriage and health, music and arts, physical fitness and more. Join AM 360, where we're helping to build a model community every day. It's a place where you can help remake the world.
All right, we're back. This is Adam B.R. here on Monday Sense on AM 360 on this Thursday morning. Ed, will you stay with me?
Yes, I am.
Okay, good. Let's go to the phone lines. Error code 972-467, 972-467. Assalamu alaikum.
Assalamu alaikum. This is Ishmael Fahmy,
yes, sir.
Dallas, Texas.
I swim like a brother.
How you doing?
Fellow Dallasite.
Hey. Yes, sir. You got the patience of Job. Elroy, you was just quiet listening. Alhamdulillah. I really appreciate what you're saying, and it seems like this is something that can relatively easily be quickly mobilized, based on what you've been saying. And with that being said, there's an inaugural event coming here to Dallas at the end of October. It's called Muslim Culture Con, and they're trying to get at least 100 youth that are in leadership to come to this retreat in Dallas. So what would be your suggestions to try to install what we're talking about for this event coming up in Dallas? I would like your thoughts on that. Thank you.
I mean, I don't see where there's like a big difference. I wouldn't know, obviously, the format of the events and how things are going to be run at the CultureCon. I have been to Comic-Con in San Diego before and know how hectic an event that is with all the different things going on. But if it's relatively small and very well managed, the same concept holds true. You're probably talking about a very specific age group that you would be looking to engage, you know, probably 12 to 29 or something of that nature, 12 to 30 year olds.
Right, 18 to 35
okay.
Year old.
Then, yeah, 18 to 35. So almost every one of those particular individuals is tech savvy. In other words, they're going to have their ultimate communication device in their pocket or in their hand, more than likely. So what you need in that particular case, you can set up the same platform of, you know, Zoom, WebEx, Google Meet, probably even be able to do it on, I don't know if you can do it on an Instagram feed or these other things, but you simply need to be able to promote it enough and have a link that youth in our community and even outside our community can very easily click on that link and be a participant in what is going on at the CultureCon. And you can build on that particular link for people to contribute $3, $5, or buy something that they see that is being exhibited at the CultureCon from that very link. You know, just if you can create that link where it also has purchase options on it, you know, for people to do that, or purchase options on it for people to be able to look into certain rooms where certain things are happening at the CultureCon. Like if they want to go into the music room and see what music is being played or, you know, which artist is performing and those type things, that may cost them $5 to get into that room. It may cost them $3 to get into an art room or whatever the case may be. You should be able to build that platform that allows people who are not physically there to be able to participate.
I like that. Thank you. I can imagine going to a merch website.
Yes.
Where they can not physically be there, but they could get them a inaugural T-shirt or some type of merchandise for that.
And you can tie that in, because one of the bigger things, if you guys remember, I'm old enough to remember, don't hate me, Jerry Lewis telethons. And, you know, the telethon is going on and you have the ability to call in back in those days an 800 number and give to, and I think it was it Children's Diabetes or Spina Bifida? I can't remember what he was raising money for. But you had the ability, as the event was going on, you know, as this famous singer was coming on stage to sing their song or whatever, that if you wanted to contribute to this charity, dial 800 number and there's somebody there to take your call. Well, today we don't do that. Today you can just do it on your phone. You can just click the link, click the box that says $25 and put your information in. A lot of times it's already stored on your phone on Apple Pay. Google Pay, you know, all these different platforms are there. It's already, and you just click $25 and boom, the money's gone, right? So that's another way, especially for people who are tech savvy, to make contributions to these events that we have very easily and do it just around the things they're interested in. They may only be there for 20 minutes to listen to somebody they've heard perform a song in the music room, make a contribution, and they're gone. But that's what you're after is the fundraising.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Israel, I have a question since you brought it up. And I'm on the website reading up about them. The idea that Edward posed that we're talking about, it seems to me some of these Muslim, young Muslims might have the technology or skills to set that up. And don't get me wrong, with today's technology, we're not talking a lot of money, you know, a lot of cost to it. But they might have the ability to set that up, right? Do you think some of them would you think that some of them would either volunteer, or if we're talking about raising $100,000, then some of them could bring their technical expertise in, and we pay them a fee to do that. You understand? So, and what I'm trying to do is bring these efforts together. I know there's this running animosity between the youth and the adults, right? The older Muslims and the younger Muslims, right? Such so that they're saying, well, why don't they let us do whatever, you know? And those types of, that mentality automatically puts us at odds with each other. It's dividing us. You understand? It's dividing us. So to me, there should be some moderate voice trying to get people to work together, right? What do you think, Edward, with the technology you're talking about utilizing to establish these smaller events simultaneously with the big events? That takes us level of expertise.
I think that's perfect idea, and I 100% since. You know, I have my youngest son will be 23 years old in October, and there is not a gadget, there is not a platform that he doesn't know how to manipulate and use to promote, because he does short films. He's a film student at university, and he knows how to manipulate all these platforms, blend music with text and, you know, with background and all these types of things. And if he wants to, like, go to an event and film that particular event with his phone as if he's ABC TV and broadcast it so that his friends who are linked to him on Instagram or on X or whatever can all basically be there with him, it takes him about 2 minutes to do that. And I'm saying we got young people in our community, coast to coast, who can do that as well. And if they're engaged, and definitely if we're going to give them a stipend, some money, they would jump all over it, the opportunity to do that.
And that's trying to pull it together. I think we should give them some money. You follow me? Might not be able to give them $100,000 or $50,000 contract or whatever, but we can give them something to make it worth their while, especially if what they're pulling together has the potential of raising that kind of money, right?
Right.
So the reality is we need to do both things. We can't expect them to work for free, right? And we can't expect them to come and join what the older Muslims are doing, especially most of them over these national organizations are older, right?
Right.
But there's been nurtured a competitiveness or anti this that's being nurtured. That's assumed that we don't want young people to help us out, or young people don't have a voice. And I don't know where that came from, but we need to kill it. We need to nip it in the bud, because those are just the types of things that keep us from working together.
Right.
When I look at
and
the
that,
human,
you know,
the
that
human
kind
story,
of that kind of attitude negates everything that we should be about, because we're basically saying that we have failed if we're not willing to allow our young people to become full participants with us in the community. Then we're saying that we have failed in preparing them to do so.
Exactly. Yeah. That's what sounds like what we've seen. But that's what keeps us from working together. Remember I was telling about the young, the Yemenis, how they did those two stores?
Mm-hmm.
From New York, they sent these young brothers down, and they run the whole thing. I haven't seen an older Yemeni yet. The young brothers bought, I'm sure they had a model in New York for the beauty supply store, and then they're taking that model and they're moving around the country. There'll probably be some in your neighborhood in a minute.
Oh, right. I'm sure there are. Right.
So they're working. It's a model. But again, they say, okay, find out where the black community is, the African community is. That's what we're going to open up. Why? Because their money is free for us to take, because they don't want to use it. So we'll use it. And that's what every immigrant that comes to America say. That's free money.
Right.
That's money on the ground that we can get. All right. So we stop that. But Israel, thank you for calling in, brother. I'm just lying. And
thank you.
I want to find out more about the Muslim Culture Con. That seems real interesting. Real interesting. So anyway, Edward, you want to plug Graceline? I was going to play your PSA, but you're live. You can go ahead and plug it now.
Well, I mean, for those who are not aware of Graceline Community, let me say this. We're a nonprofit organization that's really working for the financial empowerment of both the Islamic community, African American Islamic Community Association of Imam W.D. Muhammad, but also the greater community as a whole. We're developing programs to help people better understand banking, better understand investments, better understand real estate, better understand final life planning as we get ready to leave this great earth. And we're also working diligently toward opening a national federal credit union to be able to help our community grow, especially businesses, homeowners, people who want to get into programs and learn how to save and have more financial independence, more financial power. We think that a banking institution would be extremely beneficial to our community to just kind of streamline those processes and help us grow in that way. And that's what we're working on. I ask everybody who listens to this broadcast, whether you're hearing it live or you hear it at a later date, go to the website, which is gracelinecommunityinc.org, and simply become a member of Graceline Community. Cost you nothing. There's no membership fee. Just let us know that you support what we're working on, and also give yourself an opportunity to receive just incredible information from lots of really reputable sources on ways to make your financial life better. So become a member. You will benefit from it. And, you know, always keep us in your duas as we move toward growing this organization and also opening the credit union.
Thank you very much, my brother. hope we set the record straight on what we were trying to, the idea that you brought about. And we're going to continue talking about it, not necessarily on this program, but I'm going to reach out to other areas, other communities, and see if there's something that can be established, and even reach out to our national organizations and see if they agree with what we're trying to do. So thank you very much.
You know, Adam, I had a question for you. I had a question for you. A couple of years ago, a brother brought up to me that there used to be something in the community called Sunday addresses that Imam W.D. Muhammad would do.
Correct.
And people would come to the masjid on those Sundays all across the country and listen to those addresses. What's different about this idea? There's nothing different.
There's nothing different in that regard, except in this case it would be video. It's a phone call. And another difference there, there's one more difference that it bothered me. When that started out, the man would talk for about 6 hours.
Mm-hmm.
He'd be on the floor 6 hours. Sometimes, a few times, maybe a little longer. That would be the big difference. Well, I guess that might even be different. If you're covering the convention and they, one day they're going to be at 6 hours of activity, that might be the same. Except now,
it's the same thing. You can come and go. You can come and go.
Yeah, you can come and go. But see, that's the difference. We couldn't come and go.
Right.
I mean, you can go, but everybody in the mess would be looking at what walking out on these man. Like, what's this? Anyway, but it's similar in that regard, and get a chance to know your community.
Exactly.
How many whatever people they say we got, I don't know. But a good chance to know your community, and that's the part I think that's needed, especially we have a lot of people now that know very little, if anything, about our community, because they're new Muslims.
Mm-hmm.
They're new Muslims, and some of these places they make the man feel bad if he mentions the man Muhammad, they'll try to make him feel bad. All right, let's go to the phone lines. We got see what Muhammad's got. Something he's going to say. He just hung up. Okay. And then we got one after that. 706-627.
As-salamu alaykum. Yeah, wa alaykum as-salam. You brought up to my memory, right? On the 26th of July, ISDA is coming to Hinesville, Georgia, where Imam Muhammad came. And we know we had a wonderful experience there with him, with that city and that Liberty County. Because they opened the city up to all the Muslims who came to hear Imam when the Imam General Muhammad had sponsored him in the community there in Hinesville, Georgia. Now, they're coming through there on the 26th of July on the strength of this same community trying to reactivate itself using that language. And they're coming in with the same intention of trying to follow up behind what we are supposed to be doing and what we're supposed to be doing. They done rented the school. They done rented most everything in the city. They have tried to talk to a lot of the leadership there in the city. And even though our community is trying to reactivate itself, and some of the newer Muslim from different schools of thought who are part of the community, because we're about one unity, as you know, and our goal is to unite everybody. They had come in and had made this connection, and it's obviously went out to the permission of the Imam until too late. And so now the city of Hinesville, Georgia.
Let us know how that turned out. When it happens, let us know how that turned out.
Yeah, I will, but I'm glad you made me remember to share that with you. Yes.
Okay, alhamdulillah. Thank you very much, bro.
Hot fundraising, too. Right. All right.
Assalamu alaikum. All right, here we go, 914-434, 914-434. Assalamu alaikum.
Dear Walaikum Asalaam, Ma'am Adam and Willis.
Assalamu alaikum, my brother.
Yeah, I wanted to say what I've been asking people to do is listen to Prophet Muhammad's last public address. Listen to Imam, pardon me, Umar Ali Muhammad's last public address that was saved the day 1974. And listen to Imam W.D. Muhammad's last public address, which he made 2 days before he transitioned. He said, you're waiting. I'm here waiting, he said, right here. This is Shared Freedom Space. That was the title of the lecture. He said, some of you imam and good brothers and sisters are waiting for everybody to come up and say, I'm ready to go to work. Imam said, if you have three or four, be happy. Work with those three or four. That God has chosen you for the many. He has chosen you to free the many, to liberate them and take them to the goal line. So let's get out of that spirit that we have been in for so long, waiting for everybody to be converted. That won't work, and it never did. Then went on to say the Honorable Hajj Muhammad was one, Roy Muhammad. I won't go into four ones. Go and listen to the lecture, Imam Muhammad's last public address. We got to come out of that idea of waiting for everybody to come. It has never been done. It's never, all the many never did come. If you got three or four people now, 3,000 or 4,000, you three and four, go ahead and take the minute to where they have to go. Stop waiting for everybody to come. They are never going to come. You will never make any progress. Ma'am Adams, you were telling how a few immigrants get together, took one business. They started another business. That's how people do it. Young people, they come together and they do it. Stop waiting for the minute to come. They are never going to come. You will die. And you're just here waiting for them.
Yes, sir.
Thank you for taking my comments with the man here said.
Yeah, thank you, brother. And that's real. And I guess our discussion, our talks is for people to work together, however many it might be. So you're right, Muhammad. They never have. Never have been masses. I think there's something in the Quran with that, right?
Yes.
Allah says, when y'all see the people coming to Islam in droves, Allah says, and still strive hard.
Mm-hmm.
Still strive hard. So,
mm-hmm.
not waiting on everybody. It don't take everybody. It takes a few.
Right. And
anyway,
you know, another thing I was just thinking about, how long have we been trying to get the credit union off the ground? Y'all part of the beginning of it. How long has it taken? We can't get, I'm going to tell you the truth, we can't get people to call in like Brother Willis said, go to the website. We can't get people to go to the website and even find out what Graceline is about.
It takes some patience, brother, because as Adam and others have said, there's a slight disconnect within our community, and you know it's a large gaping hole that
was created by the transition of Imam W.D. Muhammad. He was the galvanizing piece. He was the magnet that pulled everything to the center together. And since he transitioned, there's been a lot of revolving around that space, but it hasn't ever coalesced. It hasn't come together. And that's a very difficult thing to do. And I think that's what you're talking about, what Adam talks about every week. It's what I think about is ways to get us to come together. And that's one of the things Graceline's working on. Other organizations are working toward the exact same thing. But it's difficult. It's difficult when you think about it in the science of physics to make that happen. And it's definitely difficult for us as human beings, even though we say that we believe in the same thing, we practice the same thing, we're all a part of the same family, so on and so forth. It's still difficult to do. So we have to just continue working toward it.
All right. I got two more callers there. And you have 5 minutes left, Muhammad. I'm going to bring them on. You can stay on too, but I'm going to bring the new callers in. Try to get them in. All right. Area code 727-741.
Assalamu alaikum. Alaikum assalam. Martha Nyla here calling from St. Petersburg, Florida. Greetings of peace to everyone. To you, Adam, Muhammad Sharif, and to our dear brother, Edward Willis. Thank Allah for you. I'm just calling to confirm that patience definitely is a central piece. And then understanding that the word autonomy, I believe, played a big part in the misunderstanding the word autonomy. Play a big part, and I'll stop right there. Thank you so much. Assalamu alaikum.
Yes, ma'am.
Alaikum salam.
All right, and we got another one, 724-866.
Assalamu alaikum. This is Sister Gail Muhammad from Sharon, Pennsylvania. I was wondering, would it help to give the number of people that have called in and registered with the credit union? What are our numbers currently? Because I know I have, and I've had my son do it.
Well, how many have?
I'm gonna say those numbers are probably approaching between 200 and 250 individuals within our community that have gone to the website and registered their information, their name, an email address or cell phone number. Yeah, I'd say between 200 and 250.
And also I wanted to suggest that maybe if you get in touch with Study El Islam too, they have different people come on and sometimes maybe it's, you know, a bigger audience too.
And we've done that. We've had several representatives, myself included, who have appeared with Sister Fitra on Study Al-Islam. And, you know, we just have to be patient. It's a relatively new concept. I know that individuals who were a part of the Nation of Islam were aware of the bank that the Nation of Islam had opened there in Illinois. And, you know, the bank, for the time that it was open and lasted, I think did good things, but it's been 50 years since that existed. And I think it's just kind of drifted out of people's consciousness that our community can have these things.
Yeah.
And be in control of these things. And it'd be a benefit to us.
And it doesn't mean you only get one tribe every 100 years.
Right.
Right. Yeah, because I belong currently to two other credit unions. One, you know, as an educator, State of Pennsylvania Teacher Credit Union. I have one here at the bottom of my street, and I and that's with more local Mercer County community credit union. So, you know, I'm dealing with credit union. I deal with credit unions and banks. So, we just, you know, just we just, I guess, as you say, we got to be patient, and maybe each can bring somebody else on.
Yeah, we're going to have to leave. It's time to get out of the way for our next program. Ma'am, you should rumble on. Thank you very much for calling in, and thank you very much for joining Graceline. Alhamdulillah. Brother Edward, I'll talk to you Sunday, inshallah. As-salamu alaykum.
Inshallah, brother.
All right, we'll get out of the way for you, ma'am. You said Ramadan, and we'll be back, inshallah, next Friday. Next Thursday, I mean. Oh, next Thursday. As-salamu alaykum.
Wa alaykum as-salam.
Welcome, as-salam.
The peace be on you. Assalamu alaikum. My name is Omar Shakir, and I'm resident imam of Masjid Bilal Ibn Rabah in San Antonio, Texas. And I would like to invite you every first Sunday from 12 to 1:30 p.m. Eastern Time to join us for our class where we're dealing with the subject matter of the basics in Islam. We are excited about this program, even if we're new Muslims or Muslims that have been in the faith for many, many years. It is a wonderful opportunity to learn and understand this beautiful way of life. We also connected with various insights from the tafsir of Imam Waliduddin Muhammad radiallahu anh, and we all explained its practical application. We look forward to being with you on every first Sunday of the month, where we would deal with the basics of Islam. The peace be on you. Assalamu alaikum.
Assalamu alaikum. Join us each and every Sunday from 5 to 7 Eastern Standard Time and 4 to 6 Central Standard Time for the broadcast of the contemplations of Imam Waliduddin Muhammad, sharing his insights, his wisdom, and his knowledge here on America Muslim 360, utilizing the books edited by Brother Morocco, Brother Ghani, and Brother Ronald B. Shaheed. So we look forward to your presence as we share the insight, the logic, and the thinking of our beloved Imam Waliduddin Muhammad here on America Muslim 360 on a myriad of subject matter. We look forward to your presence. Assalamu alaikum.
Greetings. This is Priscilla Lukta of the University of Islam and Clara Muhammad School National Alumni Association. We support CWSC and AM360 because of their support of our group intellect. from the Model Communities National Resource Directory and Speakers Bureau to American Muslim 360 Broadcasting and more. Join in helping to build our national intelligentsia. If not me and you, then who? Visit CWSC.us today to make your tax-deductible gift at 910-317-0297. Thank you.
As-salamu alaykum, alhamdulillah, praise be to Almighty God, and may peace be upon us all. I have been in communication with Imam Yusuf Ramadan, and he shall be with us shortly. He has a computer problem and can't control the studio board, so I let him know that I would sit in for him, alhamdulillah. I think this is him. I think his mic is open. As-salamu alaykum, Imam Yusuf Ramadan.
Wa alaykum as-salam.
Okay.
Yes, sir. Can you hear me?
Yes, sir. I'll open up with your opening, if that's all right with you.
Thank you very much.
Yes, sir. Alhamdulillah. Let me see. Here we go. Oh, hold on, please. I don't see it, unfortunately. Well, you can go ahead on, my brother, and move forward. Praise be to Allah. Thank you.
Thank you. As-salamu alaykum. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Let us peace be unto you, with God's name, merciful benefactor, the merciful redeemer. We'd like to welcome everyone to New Day Fala Islam in America, American Muslim 360 edition, the number one Islamic radio station in the nation. My name is Yusuf Ramadan, and this is a program that deals with current events, trending topics, and issues of concern from the Muslim perspective. And as we always say, the Muslim perspective is and always should be the human perspective. So we apologize for the late opening today, and I wasn't able to get to my ward, and I'm a little bit under the weather. So thank you for understanding. So we have some something that we wanted to play for you from the Imam that I think is very prescient, in that, you know, one problem that we have in today, and that is the human being, is a recognition of our humanity, of our common humanity. It's become very popular to emphasize our differences, to emphasize our differences and how we are different from one another. But this is an address by the Imam, and I hope that you will enjoy it.
And they call love a plague. A strong passion, a strong appetite. We have to save ourselves from the fire. But isn't it something how man can become scientific and know all about human nature? He knows the science of blood, bones, the heart, everything, the eye, the science of sexuality. And a fine woman can make him nothing but a dog. And doesn't have to be a fine woman in everybody's eyes, just a fine woman in his eyes. Take him down to the dog. So that tells you that we need something bigger than man to save us. Especially in these times when life is all about styling, we need something bigger in our lives, bigger than styling.
many of us don't know we started. Now, I used to wear an FOI suit. And believe me, when I put it on, I just felt it. I felt like felt like my manhood woke up in there. You know? I felt like I had authority I didn't have before. And I walked. I was styled. The Honorable Elijah Muhammad said that I quote him now, my job is not so much to teach you religion, but to put you in a dress, a decent dress. See, God came to dress us up. Yes, that's what the Honorable Elijah Muhammad said. And really, if you understand dress, when you are born from mama, and no clothes have been put on you, the doctor got you, or the nurse took you, or you delivered, and there's the baby naked. See, the baby is naked. Why do we wear clothing? We wear clothing because we are naked in our own minds. The horse comes here. Yes, for cold weather, whatever. But we don't. We don't come here just. We come here naked in our minds. But now just look again. What is clothing for? What is clothes for? Clothing is a protection. Clothing protects me from bad weather. Clothing protects me from exposure. From exposing myself to everybody. So it's a private thing. It helps me preserve my privacy. And I want to look good in my clothing. So you buy nice clothing, you should. You want to look good in your clothing. But what we have to understand is that the first clothing is the clothing of human life. Human life. Human life in its innocence and in its purity. Human life in its innocence and in its purity. No wonder the question was asked to Adam in Genesis of the Bible. Who told you you were naked? And in our Quran, there's reference to the same situation where God says, and it was the shaitan, the devil, the first deceiver, and the worst of all deceivers. It was that one that seduced you and your mate to come out of the original clothing that God put you in. And says, and that was the clothing of righteousness. The clothing of righteousness. So what is that saying? Righteousness is not something a preacher has to give you, preaching the Bible. Righteousness is something that you were created with. You were created to be righteous. Righteous. Righteousness is your nature. It's an inherent quality that we are born with. The need and the drive to be correct, truthful, clean, decent, trustworthy, righteous, righteousness, sincere. Yes, that's all in the baby, in the nature of the baby's nature. When the baby's born, he's born already with all of that.
Right.
There was a time in the history of criminology in the United States that I read, that a student said for this job, when criminology in the United States had taken a backward move and was believing, it didn't last long, believing that if they would sterilize, kill the nature to reproduce in the criminal, kill it by sterilizing them, that they would save society from criminals that would be born from criminals. They soon established that that was incorrect, was false. And they said that criminology cannot come from a parent to a child.
So it's learned. It's not inborn. It's not born with the baby. It's learned from the world. Learned in the world. Now, many of us perhaps are not living to go to heaven, but you should be. And let me tell you something. You've already been in heaven. When you were in your mother, you were in heaven. And when you came before the world, punished you or left its bad influences on you, you were in heaven. And whether you believe it or not, it took me all these years, but I'm in heaven. I was in heaven as a baby before the world influenced my thinking and my nature, and I'm in heaven again because I found the way back to heaven. And when you hear God says, and to him you must return. He only means return to the person that he created. Return me, like I said, I wish my child would come back. You talk about one who left the church, or one who left the mosque, the temple, or whatever. And it hurts you that they're gone, and they're leaving that lifestyle that you love them in, make you feel as though you lost them. You know, I just pray God all the time that my child will come back to me. So you mean come back to that life that made him pleasant in your eyes and made you so that you didn't have to worry so much about his well-being. Yes, you want him to return to that. So we have to get rid of a lot of mystery. Mystery wastes time. This world is too fast, going too fast for us to be held up with mystery. Heaven, where is heaven? We know where heaven is when we understand what the meaning of heaven is. We think of the heavens and the sky. We look up, the sky. What does that mean? Heaven is more advanced than all that I see around here. Heaven is elevated, high, elevated high. Heaven is established high, high in the sense of meaning, substance, and also quality. Quality. So if you can accept this for me, on this day in the city that I was born in. You know, some of you all want to take away my birthright. Oh, he's having some problems. He's a scholar. That's his home. I thought the place where a child was born is also his home. And he should never look that home. Yes, I was born in Detroit, and Detroit is my home. And my father was redeemed in Detroit. And became a new person, a new man, and did wonderful things and earned the title Honorable Elijah.
You listen to New Day for Islam in America, American Muslim 360 edition, number one Islamic radio station in the nation. And we have some important announcements for you. So please don't touch that dial. We'll be back in a while.
See the full picture.
Feel the void.
Read the Muslim Journal.
Bringing humanity together.
It's news with truth.
It's journalism with understanding.
Each week, Muslim Journal features the latest headline stories. Get a fresh perspective on American politics with informative editorials on the news and and stories that affect you and your community the most. Muslim Journal also features exciting reports from around the globe. Subscribe to the Muslim Journal and stay informed about the world we live in today.
See the full picture.
Subscribe to the Muslim Journal today.
Assalamu alaikum. This is Edward Willis, advisor at Graceline Community, asking you to join me in supporting community-wide Shura Conference and American Muslim 360. Make your tax-deductible contribution today at cwsc.us or phone in your pledge to 910-317-0297. Again, make your tax-deductible contribution today at cwsc.us or by phone at 910-317-0297. Together, we can remake the world. Thank you.
Imam Yusuf Ramadan. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam. We're back. Okay, thank you so much. So we just want to continue with the wonderful message given by our leader and teacher.
And I'm just continuing his good works. He said his main job is to put us in a dress, and he said a decent dress. Now that you heard me comment on what is the real meaning of dress, he means put you in a decent lifestyle. Put you in an honorable, decent lifestyle. Now, some tricks of psychology begin concerning dress might begin for us with the sisters wearing the dress that I see a few wearing right now, the headpiece. And the dress, white long dress, covering her whole body and face. But for the brothers, it began with shine your shoes. Do not come to the temple with shoes that are not shine. And if we smell you while we're searching you, and you know we're going to be up close to you to search you, and you know you're not going to get into the meeting without being searched. If we smell you, we might send you home and tell you to take a bath. And put a crease in those pants. Respect yourself. And respect this house that you're coming to. Wear your decent clothes. Now, we thought that was all about black nationalism, Nation of Islam style. But no. When you read the Quran, God says, and wear your beautiful apparel at every place and time of prayer or message. That's what he says in the Quran. So that's also the requirement in Islam before Mr. Farad and the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. Clean up ourselves and wear our beautiful dress when we come to prayer or when we come to the temple for service or for worship. What I'm saying to you, is if we had a lot of help from Mr. Farrar and from the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, we had a lot of help to get where we are today. A lot of help in more ways than you know. A lot of help to your leader now that you say is your leader, W.D. Muhammad. I call him my imam too, Imam W.D. Muhammad. We had a lot of help to get him where he is now. And to bring him along a path of progression and progress to come into the Quran, not as an import from Saudi Arabia or from Egypt or Pakistan or somewhere, but as a natural growth in the soil of the United States of America, made suitable for that growth by W.D. Farrar and Elijah Muhammad. The Honorable Elijah Muhammad put us in a new dress. There was a student at the time, he was doing his dissertation for his PhD. His name is Eachin Udom. He was African. Long time ago, this was before Malcolm got popular. And he asked Donald Elijah Muhammad, he said, for my dissertation that I'm writing for a PhD, can I interview some of the ministers and some of the regular followers? Donald Elijah Muhammad gave him permission. He interviewed me, he interviewed other ministers, he interviewed Minister James Shabazz. Before he passed, we called him Sheikh James Shabazz. He interviewed him, he interviewed Donald Elijah Muhammad, he interviewed him. And he came to his conclusion after he studied the following and temple of Islam or nation of Islam on Honorable Elijah Muhammad, he came to the conclusion that the Honorable Elijah Muhammad's main work was the work of bringing African Americans into a new culture, a new culture. Another word for culture is dress, isn't it? Into a new culture or into a new cultural dress. That was his conclusion. Now, let me come back to this. I spent a lot of time on dress. Because your dress has become so inflammable. You own fire, most of you. Most of you that I see in the streets, you just burning all the time. Oh, it's in flames, in dust and flames. Because you're wearing volatile clothing. But anyway, when you think of dress, how dress influences personality, how it influences ego. It can make a guy that has no enthusiasm, has no strength in him to stand up straight. He goes sad and droopy. Yeah, dull. You put him in a uniform, and you don't have to give him a gun or a weapon. Just put him in a uniform and put some medals up here on his chest and stuff. And that guy perk up. Oh, fellas, come on, fellas. When I was a little boy, about 8 or 9 years old, there was a corner near us, a busy corner, and there was a guy who would be out there a certain time every day. He had his own uniform. He took some pop bottle caps, and he stuck them to his stuck them on his coat so they looked like medals. And he'd be out there directing fellas. Directing traffic, Bobby. Come on, come on. Hey, get up. He was somebody. Now, I'm ashamed to admit this, but it happened to me. It was a long time before I went to the movies. In the Temple of Islam, you couldn't go to the movies. You could be actually put out of the Temple of Islam if they found out you had gone to the movies. So this time I went to this movie. It was John Wayne. You know, Duke. Big Duke. I saw this John Wayne movie. You know, he had a special walk, didn't he? John Wayne had a special walk. He walked like he feared nothing, and nothing should mess with it. And he held his hand kind of like he was ready to draw at any time. Even though he was walking, one hand was swinging, wasn't getting too far away from the pistol. I watched that movie for about an hour and a half, I guess, or I came out of there walking like Duke, walking like John Wayne. I'm moving like him. I'm in his spirit. He passed his spirit on to me. And I'm seeing myself in his coat and his hat, all right, his boots with his gun. So there I am. I didn't think nothing about, I think it was about 2 or 3 steps like that. And it registered on my mind what that movie had done to me. And I said, let me get out of this. takes your soul inside of you and influences your soul to want to agree with the dress you're wearing. So now, can't you see the problem with the man thinking he's naked and then letting the Satan, the Shaitan, the Satan, suggest that he clothes himself? Yes. Now, passions. Strong appetite. Love is a passion. Hate is a passion. Any appetite in extreme that affects the heart and causes the heart to register the appetite, you give your heart to it. It's a passion. Life is relationships. Relationships. The first relationship is relationship you have with the opposite sex. And then from that relationship come children. And the children then have a relationship both with parents and with each other. And we are told that we came from one parent of a male and female, or one soul of a male and female, saying that soul-wise, or as for the nature of the soul, male and female are one, are one. They have no difference. Soul life is the same for both males and females. The woman who cries, she's hurt. Some women won't cry when they're hurt. They're tough. They may be too tough to survive. And the same for men. Some men will cry. Some men won't cry. They're too tough. And I say the same. Maybe too tough to survive. So the nature of the soul has to be in male and female. Yes. If you lose your human emotionality, yes. If you lose the ability to be hurt, yes. In your heart, yes. You've lost your human wholeness.
Yes. That's it.
God made us like this so we will register the hurt of each other.
Yes.
So we will do something about what's hurting each other.
Yes.
Yes. Also, before leaving that, I must say that the growth of human life is seen in the connections you make.
Yes.
With your intelligence, but more importantly, with your heart. You give your heart to a relative or friend. You give your heart to a stranger. The heart does not reject any human being or human life that needs it. It can be a stranger. You can't even speak that stranger's language. But you see a stranger on the road suffering. He's fallen on the road, and he's suffering. He's in pain. And you speak to him, and you can't understand his words. He doesn't even speak your language. You're desperate to find some help for him. Hmm? The heart is where we all should be. But we reject our own heart. A suggestion is made to the mind, and we become selfish and directed selfishly. So we pass by the hurt of our family member, our hurting family members. We pass by the hurt of strangers. But God wants to awaken in us the true human spirit, the true human sensitivity, And that brings me to something else. God wants us to look at the world of nature and natural things that he created and let those things speak from their pictures to our intelligence and our hearts. Yes. Sensitivity. When you cry, hurt, water come down. Huh? Little water come down. Tears come down. Sometimes they come down not because you're hurting, but because you're so happy. You can't hold back the water of sweetness. Huh? And sweet water come down. Water. And we're told that all life had its beginning in water. So water is the beginning of our innocence, beginning of our natural, beautiful sentiments, feelings as human beings. But now, if you go to extremes in the water and neglect to go to school and be educated, or neglect to rise in knowledge or education, you will have no way where to live except in your water. Except in water. So you'll be like a fish. With his head underwater. And he can't bring his head out of the water. If he does, he'll die. Because his whole life has become that life of the water. And there are many of us like that in these churches and in these mosques and whatever these places of worship for Muslims, Christians, and others. Many of us are like fish with our heads underwater. We're afraid to take a chance on lifting our heads above the water. God didn't create us to be fish. All we have to do is lift our heads above the water, and we'll find that we are not limited to water freedom. Our freedom is to come on land and get the benefits of living on land. So we have to have the courage to trust that I won't die if I lift my head above the water. Some of us are in water up to the ankles, some up to the knees, some up to the chest, some up to the neck. Some are submerged. Now, if you're going to be submerged, don't stay there. Your mission is on the land. If you're going to be submerged, then as soon as they duck you under for baptism, you got to come back up. And you know, we take full baths too. We don't call ourselves Baptists, but we take full baths too. Praise be to Allah. Thank God, that is. Praise God. Yes. So our relationship, we have to be very regardful of relationships. Relationships are connections. Male and female connect. And when they connect, now they can produce. If they don't connect, they can't produce. You can't reproduce yourself unless you connect with your mate. The two of you all connect, now you can reproduce.
You listen to New Day for Islam in America, American Muslim 360 edition, number one Islamic radio station in the nation. We have some important announcements for you, and so please don't touch that dial. We'll be back in a short while.
Join us for Muslim American Power 5 on Mondays, 10 a.m. Pacific Time, 1 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. That's Muslim American Power 5, referred to as MAP5, featuring Sister Amatullah Sabri, Sister Cheryl Sadi, and Brother Fleming Alamein. That's Monday, 10 a.m. Pacific Time, 1 p.m. Eastern Time for MAP, Muslim American Power 5.
Assalamu alaikum. That is the peace that only Almighty God can give be upon you, and that peace obligates us to keep the peace and promote the peace. I'm your host, Michael Hameen, of Not Just Talk on AM360.org. Join us Thursday evening, 8 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Central, and 5 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. We look forward to you being with us, joining our guests from inside the Islamic community as well as outside, those men and women who are community builders. And also, periodically on Thursday evenings, we have open mic where you become our guest. So join us for more of Not Just Talk, conversations related to community building. Again, Assalamu alaikum.
And we're back, Imam Yusuf Ramadan.
We're back. Thank you, sister, for bringing us back. So we listened to the Imam, and you know people send me things all the time. The Imam is telling you as well as the Quran is telling you, you know, that you can't, that the life of this world, the life of this world is deceptive. It's deceptive. It's not as it appears. It's gurur, gurur. We are Muslims. We are Muslims. We are not supposed to listen to what the Republicans say. We're not supposed to listen to what the Democrats say, and that be our analysis of what's going on. If that's their analysis of what's happening, that ain't it. You've got to get out of that emotional thing. The Imam said, you submerged in water, the waters of your emotion. Get out of it. Whatever they're telling you the scenario is, ain't it. They ain't got it. I don't care if they're telling you about Project 25, 26, 20. That ain't, don't let that be your motivation for your life. You're a Muslim. You're supposed to have a higher inspiration. That what they, if they got it, that can't be it. If their analysis of it, if they've come to the conclusion of it's either this or that, that can't be it by definition. And I know this is flying in the face of a... You have to deal with the political reality, brother, man. That's the reality. The reality is Biden. The reality is or Trump. The reality is Kamala Harris. No, that's not the reality. That's what looks like the reality. The reality is there's no God but Allah, and Muhammad is his messenger. There's only one reality, Al-Haq. Allah is the only reality. Stop letting these people gas you up. One sister sent me a video, I think it was yesterday or the day before, of a Ku Klux Klan meeting. And they were talking about how we hate the N-word, we hate the Jews, we hate the gays, we hate this. And she said to me, that's why we have to vote. She was being sincere, but she ain't got it. That ain't why we have to vote. We've been voting. We haven't voted the Klan out of existence yet. They haven't put the Klan out of existence, but they put the Black Panthers out of existence, didn't they? No, they act like the Klan has a right to exist, don't they? But they didn't act like the Black Panthers had a right to exist. They sent them to prison. They murdered them, exterminated them. You haven't heard them doing that to the Ku Klux Klan, have you? No. I don't care what kind of plans the Ku Klux Klan have, or how she thought that that hurt her feelings when they were using the N-word. She thought that it was going to hurt my feelings and it was going to motivate me. You cannot vote yourself to freedom. It's impossible. You cannot vote yourself to economic freedom. You cannot vote yourself to political freedom. Now, I know this is messing up some of y'all's day. This has destroyed your day because you thought that if you could just get the right person, the ma'am told us before, you act as if we never had the Democrats in power before. We had them in power in the White House, the Congress, the Senate, and the Supreme Court. Huh? And what happened? What happened? No, Allah is the one that will give you your freedom. First, you have to free your mind and your heart and your soul, not your political freedom. That's not going to do it for you. I don't care who's in the White House. Certain people are going to do well economically. The Asian community, they might have a preference of who they want, but whoever's in there, that's not going to stop them from running their businesses. Economic choices and economic freedom. We have to get out of that emotional drug that they have on us. Huh? And they play us like a violin. They play us like a violin. If you don't do this, this is going to happen. If you don't do that, that's going to happen. You got to have the right political people in place. No, you don't. You can have the wrong political people in place. You think that's your reality.
You have a caller, man. Your,
all right. You think it might be your political reality, but it's not your reality. All right, take the call.
Alhamdulillah. I pray you feel better as we bring in 706627. Assalamu alaikum and welcome. Please state your name.
Wa alaikum assalam. This is Brother Muhammad from the Ummah of Prophet Muhammad by the way it comes, Georgia. And I thank Allah for reinforcing your intestinal torture to Brother Ramadan, Dr. Ramadan. And we need more of us to come into the reality that you're trying to tell us that we already know it. But what is holding us back, like Allah said? Why do you cling so heavily to what is so against you coming into the reality of your creation? You know, and I think that, like you said, I hear it every day myself too. But also I hear it every day, just like what we're saying, every day. Muslims are talking about doubt. They know it's the truth, the whole truth, nothing but the truth. And that we are supposed to get out of this situation with what Allah has given us now. We have money. We have education. We have doctors. We have lawyers. We have nurses. We have everything to establish this halal reality, you know, and forbid what is haram, to enter it except for those who are willing to do what we did. We made the intentions to give up everything of this world to have the world that Allah created us to have as Khalifa, as human beings, and whatever other language you want to use that does not discriminate, like Imam Muhammad said, that makes us discriminate and think that there's an alternative other than the truth, the whole truth and nothing but the truth of the Quran and the life example of Prophet Muhammad and all the truth that we see in each other that is making us run like in a race to all that is right, not what is good, all to what is right according to Allah. And so I just appreciate and I just pray that the psychological effects that we are going through and this doubt that we have about our life and our existence and all this wonderful knowledge that's revealed to us, that we'll start tomorrow to have sure and pool our resources and start spending on our own share of this dunya and establish the refuge for all human beings who seek to bear witness that there's one God and the whole line from Adam to Muhammad is real, because we don't need this. No human being needs to go through this. And in closing, the easiest way to remember that is that Allah said, Shaitan is your avowed enemy. That's the only thing on this earth you have to worry about, except those who might be under his influence. So these human beings were going through this struggle that we was going through before we were free by Allah in his mercy in the Quran, the life of Prophet Muhammad, is to invite them to it and have a natural defense, which is the truth, and knock out falsehood out of any head that comes into our perimeter for the safety of those who are still disorientated. And like Allah said, they are lost because they lost their prayer. They lost the truth. They lost their humanity, everybody like you nowadays. You know. So I just thank you so much that every now and then those of us who's out here doing this job on the real side, it's good to know that there's believers around you at all times. That's why Allah said you'll never be alone regardless of where you are on this earth, because my help is always near. And for all of us in the different degree of help that we are, it's how to establish this model community. I thank Allah for you. We need the best, like we was taught to do in the beginning. We were told that we are the best of creation by someone who was coming with another intention, with another reality of scheme of the shaitan, but Allah showed us that he's the best of planner. Thank you, brother. Thank you very much. As-salamu alaykum. May Allah's peace and blessing be on you and all of us who are sincere and ready to do like the Sahaba did. Drop everything to support this community of Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam that is slowly but surely coming to existence. But we can do better than this because the truth is 186,000 miles a second. Thank you. As-salamu alaykum.
Wa alaykum as-salam. All right. We might have time for one more call.
No other hand is up. But if I may share also, Imam,
sure.
You know, hearing the Imam sharing that you played about clothing, and as he was speaking, he said righteousness, and of course, you know, the direction that we're looking at when we're saying that I believe or I submit. A question to you: Because for some reason I've been reading on that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows everything that's hidden or secretly, and so I'm taking that as actions of, and at the same time something reflects on me that to say that when we say we believe and we're standing and we're saying prayer or we are thinking of prayer, could it also be that we have a fear that we haven't acknowledged? And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is well aware of that fear and can expose that fear.
I'm not sure exactly what your question is.
As we're declaring our faith in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and speaking for even myself, you know, as we go through the routine every day and we're confronted, when we get confronted, as Muhammad was just saying about the doubt, or you were saying too about, you know, that the vote, and that's going to be the answer. I'm saying, could it be that there's a fear there that we have not acknowledged, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is well aware of that fear, and it comes out without us even recognizing it, that we actually have a fear over faith rather than the other way around?
What's your question?
That was the question. Could it be that as we are declaring faith in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and going through our routine of, you know, being at the masjid, saying our prayers together, collectively, separately, and appearing to have that faith, but yet there is a fear, as I said, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows things that are hidden in our hearts, in the secret of our minds. But I guess I'm answering my own question, that yes, it could be fear that we have that we're not stepping forward and doing different things to show that we believe or have that faith in Allah versus
you have
things
to have
that's happening around.
The faith that you have in Allah has got to be made manifest. You have to show the reality of it. You know, you have to put your trust. Another word for faith is trust. You have to put your trust in Allah. You know, we don't believe that our trust in Allah is enough. We believe that, you know, all these other political realities, which is really not a reality at all. But I tried to tell everyone, maybe a year ago, more than a year ago that Biden was not going to be the nominee. He was not going to run for reelection. And somebody need to tell him now. He still don't believe it. He's not going to be running for president again.
Can we switch then, Muhammad Sharif, Imam?
30 seconds.
Okay, 30 seconds. Muhammad Sharif, you're on.
I would like to hear what Imam Ramadan was saying.
Okay, alhamdulillah.
Well, one thing that your candidate said, Sharif, which was true, and that's Dr. Cornel West, he said a lot of things can happen between now and then. They were saying, oh, you don't have a chance. Dr. West, you don't have a chance. But he said, hey, a lot of things can happen, and he's right. Look, you worried about Trump. Allah's going to give life and death. We don't know how many days he got left on this planet, just like we don't know that about ourselves. So stop fearing these people. Fear Allah and Allah alone. So we thank everyone listening to the New Day for Islam in America, American Muslim 360 edition, number one Islamic radio station in the nation. My name is Yusuf Ramadan. Please support CWSC and AM 360, the Muslim Journal, and all of our Muslim media. And we pray that you have a Juma Mubarak and that you remain safe and healthy. Until next time, assalamu alaikum.
Alaikum assalam. And as we say, Imam, do what you need to do to get better. We pray for your return next week, inshallah. Everyone, please plan to join us tonight, 8 p.m., for Not Just Talk with Michael Hameen, inshallah. You just heard from Imam Yusuf Ramadan, A New Day for Al-Islam, and then Adam Beya. What is it? I'm drawing a blank, everyone. Money Sense. And then from Henry Hasib with his recurring guest, Mark Shaheed, on critical issues facing society with solutions. Thank you once again. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala continue to bless all of us. Thank you for your questions, your comments, and Saturday, inshallah, this is the month of Muharram, and we intend to have a think tank session, national town hall. If we have your email address, you will receive the information. We'll be sharing it on different social media platforms as well as AM360. Inshallah, that'll be 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time after Al-Islam in Focus. Look forward to seeing you there. And in between, tomorrow, after tonight, Suratul Kahf. And then CWSC Friday Roundtable, followed by Share Your Juma. And following that, then 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, Community Developmental Stages and Community Buzz, Have You Heard? We'll go out with our music here, inshallah. And that is Humanity. It's Everybody's Business, followed by You've Got to Be Thankful. Okay. I could blame it on something, but I choose not to. Let's see here. Humanity. Stay with us to give in. All right. Thank you.
stumble down the stairs, tiptoe by the bedroom where my children sleep. 25 years later, I still pray my Lord their souls to keep. Grab my keys, grab my hat, and I head on out the door. Crank up my old pickup truck, get off the work I go. But I gotta be alright,
gotta be alright,
do the best that I can. Try and make a difference, cause that's just who I am. I've gotta be strong,
gotta be strong,
and let a helping hand along the way. Try and make a difference each and every single day. But you gotta be thankful,
gotta be thankful,
gotta be grateful for my life and all the things he's given me that make my life my life. For the warm rays of sunshine, stars that light the night, friends that last forever, and my children and my wife. Now there's a little boy, he lives down the street, who wants to grow to be a man. But life is rough and the streets are tough, and he tries to understand. He say, "Miss, can you help me? Can you lend a helping hand? Tell me why the life's so rough. Can you help me understand?" Well, I think about the days gone by and the things my daddy said, and the wisdom that he shared with me still lingers in my head. He said, "You gotta be alright, you gotta do the best that you can. Try and make a difference in any way you can. You gotta be strong,
gotta be strong,
and lend a helping hand along the way. Try and make a difference each and every single day. But you gotta be thankful,
gotta be thankful,
you gotta be grateful for your life and all the things he's given you that makes your life your life. For the warm rays of sunshine and the stars that light the night, and friends that last forever, and your children and your wife. Go back to colors, and I say the day's last prayer, asking for his blessing for people everywhere, and our sons and daughters who fight in foreign lands, trying to make a difference for their family. But they gotta be alright, they gotta do the best that they can. Try to make a difference any way they can. They've got to be strong,
gotta be strong,
and lend a helping hand along the way. Try and make a difference each and every single day. But they gotta be thankful, they gotta be grateful for their lives and all the things he's given them that make their life, for the warm rays of sunshine and the stars that light the night, the friends that last forever, and their children and their wives. Yeah, they gotta be thankful. bright delight for the warm rays of sunshine. Longer like the night, friends are lost forever and their children and their wives. Say they gotta be thankful.
All that Allah has afforded us. Assalamu alaikum. Let's be thankful.